working under great difficulties. The Jews considered it a sin to allow youth to grow up ignorant of physical labor. Every young man, whether his parents were rich or poor, was taught some trade. Early in his life, Paul had learned the trade of tent making. Before he became a disciple of Christ, he held a high position and was not dependent on working with his hands for support. But afterward, when he had used all his wealth in advancing the cause of Christ, at times he resorted to his trade to earn a living. At Thessalonica, Paul worked with his hands in self-supporting labor while preaching the word. Writing to the believers there, he reminded them, "You remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preached to you the gospel of God." 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. And again he wrote, "Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 8, 9. At Thessalonica, Paul had opposed those who refused to work with their hands. "We hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Even when we were with you," he wrote, "we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." Verses 11, 12, 10. In every age, Satan has tried to introduce fanaticism into the church. It was that way in Paul's day and later during the Reformation. Wycliffe, Luther, and many others met up with overzealous, unbalanced, and unsanctified minds. Misguided people have taught that it is a sin to work, that Christians should devote their lives entirely to spiritual things. Paul's teaching and example rebuke such extreme views. Paul was not completely dependent on the work of his hands at Thessalonica. He wrote to the Philippian believers to acknowledge the gifts he had received from them, saying, "Even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Philippians 4, verse 16. Despite the fact that he received this help, he set an example of diligence, giving a practical rebuke to those who held fanatical views about manual labor. The Greeks were skilled traders, trained in sharp business practices. They had come to believe that making money was commendable, whether by fair means or not. Paul would give them no reason to say that he preached the gospel to enrich himself. He was willing to do without support from his Corinthian hearers, rather than allow his usefulness as a minister to be injured by unjust suspicion that he was preaching for profit. Priscilla and Aquila encourage Paul. At Corinth, Paul found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. These were of the same trade that he was. Aquila and Priscilla had established a business manufacturing tents. Learning that they feared God and were trying to avoid the contaminating influences around them, he stayed with them and worked. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Acts 18, verse 2-4. In his second letter to the believers in Corinth, Paul reviewed his manner of life among them. "And when I was present with you, and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself." 2 Corinthians 11, verse 9. While he had worked at tent making, Paul had also faithfully proclaimed the gospel. He wrote this about his work: "For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 13 to 15. During his ministry in Ephesus, Paul worked at his trade again. As in Corinth, the apostle was happy to associate with Aquila and Priscilla, who had accompanied him to Asia at the close of his second missionary journey. Some objected to Paul's working with his hands, claiming that it was inconsistent with the work of a gospel minister. Why should Paul connect mechanical work with the preaching of the word? Why should he spend time in making tents that he could be put to better use?
But Paul did not regard the time he spent this way as lost. His mind was always reaching out for spiritual knowledge. He gave his fellow workers instruction in spiritual things, and he also set an example by being industrious. He was a quick, skillful worker, diligent in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse 11. Working at his trade, the apostle had access to people he could not have reached in other ways. He showed that skill in common trades is a gift from God, who provides both the gift and the wisdom to use it correctly. Paul's work-hardened hands took nothing away from the force of his appeals as a Christian minister. Paul sometimes worked night and day, not only for his own support, but in order to help his fellow laborers. He even suffered hunger at times so that he could provide for the needs of others. He lived an unselfish life. When he gave his farewell talk to the elders at Ephesus, he could lift up his work-worn hands and say, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Acts 20, verse 33 to 35. A suggestion for modern gospel ministers. If ministers feel they are suffering hardship, let them in imagination visit Paul's workshop. Let them bear in mind that while this man of God is cutting and stitching the canvas, he is working for food that he has already earned by his labors as an apostle. Work is a blessing, not a curse. Idleness grieves the Spirit of God. A stagnant pool of water is offensive, but a pure, flowing stream spreads health and gladness over the land. Paul wanted to teach young ministers that by exercising their muscles, they would become strong to endure the work and hardships ahead of them. His own teachings would lack vitality and force if he did not exercise. Thousands of human beings exist only to consume the benefits that God bestows on them. They forget they are to be producers as well as consumers. Young men whom God chooses for the ministry will give proof of their high calling. They will work at gaining an experience that will fit them to plan, organize, and execute. By self-discipline, they will become more and more like their master, revealing his goodness, love, and truth. Not all who feel called to preach should immediately throw themselves and their families on the church for financial support. Money dedicated to the work of God should not be consumed by those who desire to preach only so that they can receive support. Although he was an eloquent speaker, and God had chosen him to do a special work, Paul was never above labor, nor did he ever tire of sacrificing for the cause he loved. To the present hour, he wrote to the Corinthians, "We both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands." 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11, 12. He worked at this trade, but he always stood ready to lay aside his secular work in order to oppose the enemies of the gospel or to win people to Jesus. His zeal and industry are a rebuke to idleness and desire for ease. Paul illustrated what consecrated laymen could do in many places. Many can advance the cause of God while at the same time supporting themselves in daily labor. God used Aquila and Priscilla to show Apollos the way of truth more perfectly. While God chooses some with special talents to devote all their energies to the work of the gospel, He calls many others to an important part in bringing people to Jesus. There are many opportunities for self-supporting gospel workers. Many may gain valuable experiences in ministry while working part-time at manual labor. By this method, people may develop into strong workers for important service in needy fields. The heart burden carried by servants of Christ. The self-sacrificing servants of God do not measure their work by hours. Their wages do not influence them in their efforts. They have received their commission from heaven, and to heaven they look for their reward.
Such workers should be freed from unnecessary cares. While they should be careful to exercise to keep the mind and body vigorous, yet they should not have to spend a large part of their time at secular employment. These faithful workers are not immune to temptation. When burdened with worry because the church has failed to give them proper financial support, some are fiercely attacked by the tempter. They become depressed. Their families must have food and clothing. If they could feel released from their divine commission, they would be willing to labor with their hands. But they realize that their time belongs to God, and they continue to advance the cause that is dearer than life itself to them. However, for a while they may be forced to engage in manual labor or doing ministerial work. Sometimes, because of lack of funds, it seems impossible to do the work that needs to be done. Some people fear that they cannot do everything that they feel is their duty. But if they move forward in faith, success will follow their efforts. Jesus, who has asked his followers to go into all the world, will sustain every worker who tries to proclaim his message. In the building up of his work, the Lord sometimes tests the confidence of his people by bringing about circumstances that compel them to move forward in faith. Often he tells them to advance when their feet seem to be touching the waters of Jordan. Joshua 3, verse 14 to 17. At such times, when their prayers go up to him in earnest faith, God opens the way before them and blesses their efforts beyond their expectations. Angels will prepare the way before them, and the funds necessary for the work will be provided. Those whom God has enlightened will give freely to support the work. The Spirit of God will move on their hearts to maintain the Lord's cause, not only in home fields, but in the regions beyond. And so the work of the Lord will advance in His own appointed way.